15, Making Sense of Suffering. We all suffer. When my dad died, I was sad. It hurt. The pain was like a dull ache that just wouldn't go away. I wanted to have just one more good conversation with him. I missed him, and I knew I would continue to miss him. I knew he would never get to meet my wife and children, and I knew there would be many key moments in my life when I would yearn for him to be there. I was sad for my younger brothers, especially Hamish, my youngest. I was 30 years old when my dad died, but Hamish was only 22, and he had lived with Dad through almost 5 years of illness. So Dad had been sick since Hamish was about 17, and that is too young to lose your father. Suffering comes in many shapes and sizes and wears many masks. The first time I was diagnosed with cancer, I remember walking out of the doctor's office. My ears were ringing, and everything seemed to be a blur. All around me, people were just getting on with their lives, but my life had just changed in an instant. Being sick yourself is a different type of sadness and a different type of suffering. When my brother Mark died, it was different again. It was different from my dad dying and different from having cancer. Mark was in the prime of his life. He had two daughters and a wife who needed him. When my dad died, it was sad, but he had lived a full life. My brother left too much of life unlived, and his death hurt more because of that. There are other types of suffering that I dread. I dread the pain that comes from helplessly watching someone I love suffer, knowing there is absolutely nothing I can do. I dread having to see my own children suffer. When my son Walter was about one, he had severe asthma, and one night we had to take him to the emergency room. I ended up spending the night in the hospital with him, but the whole floor he was on was full of sick children. Many of them had been there for weeks or months, and some of them were never going home again. Suffering is one of the central mysteries of the human experience. I don't know why I suffer in certain ways and you suffer in other ways. I don't know why some people's suffering is very public and other people suffer quietly and inwardly in ways that nobody else would ever know. I don't know why my brother died in the prime of his life. It doesn't make sense to me. It's a mystery. And I have learned to make peace with life's mysteries. I am not fool enough to believe that my finite mind can comprehend the infinite mind of God. Faith and hope lead me to the conclusion that suffering has value. I do not fully understand the reason or the value of suffering. Suffering is a mystery, and I'm okay with that. Mystery is a beautiful thing. It shouldn't be scoffed at, but rather should be approached with reverence and awe. The cross is central to the life of Jesus. His suffering had unfathomable value. I believe that our suffering is connected to his suffering in ways we will never fully understand in this lifetime. And in the next life, we may discover that suffering in this life was in fact a great honor. We just don't know. It's a mystery. And I'm okay with that. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but it doesn't have to be meaningless. Like so many things in life that we have little or no control over, how we respond to suffering makes all the difference. Jesus counsels us, "I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." John chapter 16, verses 20 through 22. This passage alone is proof enough that Jesus sees suffering in a completely different light than the world does, and that his conception of suffering is radically different from how I would view it if I were left to my own devices. Fortunately for us all, Jesus doesn't leave us to our own devices. Suffering reminds us, perhaps more than anything else, that God's ways are not ours. We live in a secular culture that despises suffering as useless and proclaims that it should be avoided at all costs. As a result, pain relievers are constantly being thrust at us in the form of pills, products, experiences, and distractions. The world has its own gospel. The message of the world is incomplete, and nothing demonstrates this incompleteness more than the world's inability to make sense of suffering. The world cannot make sense of suffering because it views suffering as worthless. The world has no answer for the inescapable, unavoidable, and inevitable suffering of our lives. Jesus has an answer for everything. The Old Testament scriptures tell us that suffering is the consequence of sin. In the Old Testament, suffering is presented as a punishment inflicted by God as a direct result of humanity's sinfulness. In the New Testament, Jesus boldly announced with his words and actions that suffering has value. It is a tool that can transform us into more loving people. It ushers us into higher spiritual realms. Salvation and the suffering of Jesus are inseparable. So what could be more meaningful than suffering? Now let's be very clear. I am not suggesting that we should go looking for suffering. And there is a great deal of suffering in this world that you and I can and should do more to relieve. But the inescapable suffering of our lives has a purpose. We can try to run from it, or we can accept it and allow it to transform us in unimaginable ways. We can allow it to make us angry, or we can let it teach us how to love more fully. For hundreds of years, Christians have whispered to each other, "Offer it up." The scriptures encourage us to offer everything that happens in our day, the joys and suffering, to God as a prayer. Suffering is a powerful prayer. Once we come to this realization and begin to surrender to the inevitable suffering of life, offering it to God as a prayer, for ourselves, for our friends and family, for the world, we become filled with a deep and abiding peace. Jesus promised us suffering. His leadership was unique and awesome. He didn't sugarcoat things or pretend. He led by example and asked for great commitment from those who wanted to follow him. For more than 2,000 years, the heroes, champions, and saints of Christianity have been meditating on the passion and death of Jesus Christ. Perhaps it is time we all spent a little time exploring the genius of the cross. The world changed at 3 o'clock on that Friday afternoon when Jesus laid down his life for us. That was how he changed the world. Radical. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The mandate is clear. I don't know what your cross is, but I sure know what my own is. Some days I am more reluctant than others to pick it up and carry it. That's life. What cross is Jesus inviting you to take up and carry today? Whatever it is, the risen Christ wants to help you carry it. You are not alone. Point to ponder. Suffering transforms us in unimaginable ways. Verse to live. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Question to consider. Are you willing to suffer a little in order to grow spiritually? Prayer. Jesus, teach me to embrace the unavoidable suffering of life and keep me ever mindful of those who suffer more than I do.